the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Confession of forgiveness begins on page 94 in the front of the hymnal. Page 94. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, praise to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the new occasion, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following in the front of the hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Our hymn of praise is hymn number 858, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, hymn 858, verses 1 and 4, at this time, verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
We pray together in unison the prayer of the day, as it's found on the first page of your worship bulletin or the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, direct us in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Gordon. Okay, first readings today is Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's way, and observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the lands that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not fear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the lands that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, choice. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Rebekah, and to Jacob and Rachel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody today is Psalms 1. We'll read them. Happy are those who do not follow
the advice of the wicked,
or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers.
But their delights in the law of the Lord,
and on God's law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water,
which yield the fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous.
By the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is Philemon, verses 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of the Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church and the house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith towards the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the heart sufferings of the saints have been through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now as a prisoner of the Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deeds might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do what I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for today, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and is not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, the Christ. The texts for today's sermon are from the books of Deuteronomy, the first reading, and the gospel reading from Luke. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, among everything else that was going on, the beginning of the week I received a text from a member of our congregation. And they said, Pastor, I want you to think about this, and someday I want you to preach on it. Because I'm really concerned. I could not stop thinking about it through death and funerals and visitations and the like, so I share it with you now. The text was this, quote, and these weren't the words of the person sending it to me, they were quoting another, but quote, this is the text. How does the thief on the cross fit into your theology? Okay. It goes on. No baptism, no communion, no confirmation, no speaking in tongues, no mission trip, no volunteerism, no church clothes. He could not even bend his knees to pray. The thief didn't say the sinner's prayer, and among other things, he was a thief of the state, an insurrectionist of the state, stealing power from the government. Where have we heard that word in the past 2 years, insurrectionist? When I was a boy, this is an aside, okay? So put a comma there. When I was a boy, I used to think, okay, thief on the cross. What did he steal that they killed him? Was it an orange or an apple? I thought, I'll never eat an orange or apple again if that's why they killed him. My grandmother, bless her, Miss Sowers, she'd go to the store and I'd be with her and she'd always pick a grape and eat it. And as a little 6 and 7 year old boy, I thought, what the heck? And she said, oh, that's to see if they were ripe or sour. I thought, well, if everybody picked a grape to see if they were ripe or sour, there'd be no grapes to, you know, buy. So grapes, oranges, apples, why was the guy hung on a cross? Because he stole power from the government. Rome was going to show him as a billboard to everybody. That's why they crucified people and hung them out to dry for days and weeks on end until they died. To show them as a billboard of don't steal power from Rome or you too will be hung out to dry. So the quote goes on. Jesus did not take away his pain, heal his body, or smite the scoffers on the city wall. Yet it was the thief who went to heaven the same hour as Jesus simply by believing and trusting. The thief had nothing more to his belief and trust that Jesus was who he said he was. No spin from brilliant theologians, no ego or arrogance, no shiny lights or vapor and smoke, no skinny jeans or crafty words, no haze machine, donuts or coffee beginning or at the end of worship, just an unclothed man dying on a cross, unable to even fold his hands to pray. End quote. So the question that began the whole thing was, how does the thief on the cross fit into your theology? Great question. The person who texted it to me on the smartphone said, quote, Pastor, why then do we need the church? Really? You're asking me, who went to church for 63 years of his life and was a pastor for 36 of those years and all that, why do we need the church? And I thought all week about that. It's stuck in my brain because it's not a dumb. The mega churches in the 1980s and 90s down in Arizona and up in Canada. I went to conferences about mega churches. I served a church of 400 people. 100 would come every Sunday faithfully in the little community of 800 in Montana. Yeah, 400 Roman Catholics, 400 Lutherans, town of 800. They had two Baptist families. They had their own church. And 100 of the 400 would come, 100 of the 350 would come faithfully every Sunday. Why do we need the church? Mega church, little church. That was the question in the 80s and the 90s. Maybe we should just let the church die. I thought about it all week, and yesterday, as I was finishing the sermon, I had the answer. This is the answer. Pastor, why then do we need the church? Because you're not hanging on a cross. Once you're hanging on a cross, then you won't need the church. But for right now, you're not hanging on a cross, you need the church. The person went on to say, theology, doctrine, rites, and rituals, what good are they? What good is the church? Shouldn't we try something different? The same question they asked in the 80s and 90s. Our gospel lesson for today is a troubling one.
And I could go on for 4 hours, but I only have 8 minutes, okay? The gospel of today is a troubling one. And so is Deuteronomy, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. It's the cost of discipleship. The German Lutheran theologian who would not assassinate Hitler, he wouldn't be a part of the plot to assassinate Hitler, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said, "We can't do that." 3 weeks before they hung him, the Nazi regime, he said, "We need to get rid of Hitler. Thou shalt not commit murder," yeah, fifth commandment, "but we need to get rid of him." Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book, and many of you have read it. If you hack it out from the library, and if the library doesn't have it, you can borrow one of my 3 copies. It's called The Cost of Discipleship, plain and simple. And that's what the gospel is all about, the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. Is what the gospel in Deuteronomy is about. The stories of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, show us relationship with God. From Adam and Eve to Abraham and Sarah, Noah and Mrs. Noah, it's all about God's relationship with God's people. And at the very beginning, with all of creation, okay? And God continues to be in relationship with all of that. The stories in the Bible are about relationship with one another. Friends, family, neighbors. Who is my neighbor, the lawyer asked Jesus. Well, the Good Samaritan, the foreigner, the enemy, the outsider was my neighbor. The stories of the Bible are about relationships with God and God's relationship. And you are unique. There is no one ever, ever in the history of the world is like you. I don't care if you're a twin, fraternal, or whatever, or triplet there, you know. No one is exactly like you at all. And God is in relationship with you. We learn that through the stories. Adam and Eve, Mr. and Mrs. Noah, Abraham and Sarah and the like. The church is here to help you in relationship, your relationship with God. To have you understand God and have God understand you. In the past 2 weeks, I've been involved in 5 deaths. You heard that sermon last Sunday. I won't repeat it. But finally, on Friday, we laid to rest Don Carlson. And it was interesting. And I can say this because I know Don knows me well enough. He's smiling up in heaven, whatever that means. And Janice, I spoke to her. I told her to sleep in today. She was, "Sunday over." I said, "It will. Then the rest of her life will begin." But the family will leave. They left this morning for the 4 corners of the earth, Washington, Idaho, and the like. And she goes, "It'll all be over." Don Carlson did not want a funeral. He and I talked about that a lot, and that's why I can say it publicly. Don Carlson didn't want a funeral for a lot of reasons. He was claustrophobic. He didn't want to be put in a box or put in the ground. So they cremated him, and they put him in a little box in the ground, which is kind of ironic. I thought about that. But they took part of the cremains and they scattered it where he used to go camping with his family and friends over by Soda Springs, I think. And he's scattered now in the wilderness, the mountains, and the like. It's not Soda Springs? You're looking at me. No? Yeah? Soda Springs?
Grays Lake.
Thank you. What she said. Was it Grays Lake? Okay. Thank you. Oh, back there. I blame Marla. Yeah, this dialogue. It wasn't me. Marla said, "It wasn't me." Yeah. Thank you, Maxine. Grays Lake. That's exactly it. Grays Lake. Don Carlson didn't want a funeral. And I try to respect that. And yet, the morticians, when they met with him, the family, a couple weeks ago, and the pastor, when I met with them the next day, said, "You know, there's a reason we have funerals and visitations." And they said, "We don't really want that." But the morticians talked us into a visitation. The family called it a meet and greet. "We're going to have Oreo cookies and milk." That was the joke. Oreo cookies and milk, and we'll meet and greet. So bless you women who are a part of that. You ministered to them more than even the preacher. On Thursday afternoon this last week, we had a visitation from 2 to 3:30. People came from Idaho Falls, and we're here at 1 o'clock, even before the pastor and the kitchen crew were here, waiting in the parking lot for the doors to be unlocked. People stayed until 4 o'clock. Janice, yesterday when I talked to her, she and her daughter sat down and they counted how many names were in the impromptu guest book. They didn't have a guest book. They hadn't thought of that. So somebody went out to their pickup truck and got a notepad and a pen, and we threw it on a table with a bouquet of flowers and said, "Sign the guest book." Over 175 people signed the guest book. Janice was overwhelmed. Because one of the reasons Don did not want a funeral was because nobody would come. He knew that nobody would come to the funeral if we had a funeral for him. 175 people came from the four corners of the world, from Washington, Idaho. I think the farthermost was Idaho Falls, and then out west. 175. I said, Janice, you know that not everybody signed that book. She goes, yeah. I said, 200. We'll round it up to 200. And she was just overwhelmed. She was, I can't believe it. There were people there. Her daughter, Michelle, said, there were people there I hadn't seen for 30 years. Family members and the like, yeah, who visited, family, friends, and neighbors. And they stayed till 4 o'clock. That's why I said, we'll go from 2 to 3:30, because I knew that they'd slush over. Pastor, why do we need the church? Actually, because of Thursday afternoon. Don didn't want a funeral. The family didn't want to have a visitation. I know how hard that is. Janice was a dish rag at the end of Thursday afternoon. But it meant so much to her that then, the next day, they counted how many names were in the impromptu notepad guest book. No funeral, no prayers, no rites, no rituals, no liturgies. 2 days ago, Rose Hill. How many of you know Rose Hill Cemetery in Idaho Falls? I never knew about that. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, if you ever get to Idaho Falls, drive through Rose Hill Cemetery. Off Sunnyside, everything's off Sunnyside now. I wish I had $10 for every dog that was in that cemetery being walked. I could retire tomorrow. There were dozens and dozens of people walking tens of dozens of dogs. Shady trees, beautiful grass, don't have to pick up the poop. You know, all that fun stuff, right? The Carlsons. The cemetery was built in 1860. Who knew? Idaho Falls? 1860? I talked to the groundskeeper and the guy at the office because I got lost. Yeah, I had to stop and ask for directions because we were on the southwest side, and on the northeast side is where the grave plot was. Over the river, through the woods, literally. We had to go across the bridge, through the woods, and we got to the Carlson compound. But there, in the cemetery, on the edge of the cemetery, next to a residential fence, were Don's mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And then there were all kinds of other Carlson headstones. I said, who are they? And Jan said, oh, they're family. Really? I joked with the grandson, whom I baptized his son here a few months ago. Got duck eggs for it. That was my payment, duck eggs. They're duck egg farmers. I joked with the grandson the night that we met. I said, you know, bring your post hole digger. You could dig the grave if it's cremains. Well, a lot of cemeteries don't allow you. I got there half an hour before or so. The hole was dug for the cremains. Nice little tarp with the sod and the dirt line. There was three or four shovels and a post hole digger. I thought, the groundskeepers came. No, the grandson in his pickup truck brought a post hole digger and some shovels, because they called the cemetery and they said, yeah, you can do it if you want to. If we do it, it's $250, but you can do it if you want to. It was beautiful, like they'd done it all their lives. They had opened the ground to plant the body. The cremains that were left over from Gray's Lake, is that right? Yeah, Gray's Lake, thank you. Rattle your head. I stayed for another 40 minutes after the 20-minute service, prayers, readings, Lord's Prayer, benediction, the whole bit. I wasn't going to let them off the hook. They all thanked me individually, the 25, 30 people that were there, family and friends, saying, meaningful. I said, you're welcome. And as I was driving off, I saw the grandson and the son-in-law-to-be, the grandson-in-law-to-be, filling the hole up. The great-grandson, who was 9 years old, cried through the whole thing. He really missed his great-grandfather, I could tell, Thursday and Friday. But all of a sudden, I saw him go over, and he took some handfuls of dirt, and he threw it in the hole, too. Then he found a grub, and one of the adult men said, I dare you to eat it. You know, a little levity in the middle of it all. Why do we have rites and rituals? Why do we have hymns? Why do we have scripture reads? Why do we have stories about God with God's people? It's because that's important. Especially when life and death happen. I was at the visitation Thursday. You got me going. Okay. It'll be 9 minutes, back row. I was at the visitation Thursday, and Michelle, the daughter-in-law, came up to me and said, Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, visit, eat cake, and drink coffee. That's what visitation's all about. Janice said you'd say a prayer. I said, I can do that. That's my job. I can say a prayer. And then she said, I've got an essay. Would you read the essay that my son, the grandson who opened the grave and closed the grave, wrote when he was in fourth grade? There wasn't a dry eye of 175 people, and I read that. Then the daughter-in-law, the granddaughter-in-law, came up and she goes, could you announce about the guest book? We didn't even think about that, but we have a pad and have them sign it. We moved it to the door so if people come and go, they could sign it. 175 did, 25, 30 people didn't. And I thought, all of a sudden, liturgy. Liturgy, rites, and rituals. We have a guest book, we have cake, we have coffee, the sacraments in the Lutheran church. And then we had prayer, and we shared a story by a fourth grade boy. Why do we need the church, Pastor? For all those reasons. It happened over and over and over again this past week. Family in our midst for whom there was no prayer or no funeral or no ritual, and yet we prayed for them last Sunday. They will be in my prayers this Sunday. I visited with family members and said, I'm thinking of you. It's about closure. It's about life and death. The church is here to help us in our relationship with God. And that's why the rites, the rituals, the readings, the doctrine, theology are so important. Moses said it. Listen again to the first lesson. I love, this is classic. This is wonderful first lesson. You can follow along if you want to. Moses said, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's ways, and observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. We're talking about Canaan, the promised land. But, there's that high holy but, if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray and bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish, and you shall not live among and long in the land that you are crossing to the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God. Why do we have the church, Pastor? Because we choose life. We choose to be in relationship with God. We choose to understand God's history with God's people. I didn't know. I'd heard about, there's stories about the cemetery plot in Rose Hill Cemetery. Oh, just ask the Carlsons about the stories about the family cemetery plot. Many stories about trees being cut down, and it was on the edge of the cemetery, so that right next to their graves, his mother and father and grandparents, was the dump where they put all the brush and the tree limbs and everything else, and they have a lot of trees. Thousands of trees in that cemetery. It's huge. We share the stories that we might understand each other. Don didn't want to be buried next to the dump, and he's closest to the dump now. But the dump they got rid of. The family, when they got there, our friend said, it's a miracle. There was no brush, no lawn clippings, no nothing. They're going to put columbariums. Niches, you know, or niches, I call it because I'm poor. The niches where they put the cremains, there'll probably be 36 or three columbariums they're going to build in a U shape, and probably 36 or 54 niches in each one. So he's going to have a whole bunch of company besides all the Carlsons. And the story goes on. I set before you life and prosperity, death and failure. Choose. Choose. Yes, the thief on the cross did not fold his hands, did not pray a prayer, did not have church clothes on, could not bend his knees. But he trusted and believed who Jesus said Jesus was. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But you can't forget there was a second thief. The one thief said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But the second thief railed against Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, get down from the cross and take us down too. Get us off these things. We don't want to be a billboard for the government of who's in power and control. And he chose death. It's that simple. Why do you need the church? Because you're not hanging on a cross. The church's rites, rituals, worship, Bible study, and prayer is all about relationship with God. But that's a skeleton. This is the skeleton of what we do on Sunday morning. You should pray every day of the week, Monday through Saturday. Lord's Prayer and the like. You should crack open your Bibles, and I'm going to give you homework right now. Crack open your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel, the prophet, Old Testament, chapter 37. One of my favorite portions of the whole Bible. Ezekiel 37. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. We are a church of dry bones. And God says, there'll be meat and sinews and blood vessels and muscles put on your dry bones. And indeed, there is. Some of us have more meat and muscle than others do. I'm proud of it. But if you read that chapter, the people still didn't live. They only lived when God breathed ruach, the word for spirit, wind, and breath. The same breath he breathed into Adam and Eve. He breathed into the valley of dry bones, and they praised God, and they were alive. Go home and read Ezekiel 37. It's marvelous. It's just one of the, in fact, it was so good they made a movie. Ray Harryhausen, the, you know, Jason and the Argonauts and that stop motion marionette kind of stuff. He did a whole movie about the Valley of the Dry Bones. There were skeletons fighting with knives and everything else, you know. You've got two choices, life and death, prosperity and failure. The one thief said, remember me. You are the Messiah. The other thief said, if you are the Messiah, remember me and let's get down from here. And he didn't trust or believe at all. The final text this week was this, and I think it's so telling. Quote, Jesus fed the 5,000. I think it was 25 to 30,000, but that's neither here nor there. Jesus fed the 5,000, but only 500 followed him after the picnic lunch. Jesus had 12 disciples, I think dozens and dozens, like ticks. Jesus had 12 disciples, but only three went farther into the garden with him to pray the night he was arrested. And only one the next day stood with Jesus at the cross. The closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd gets. Go figure. Pastor, why then do we need the church? Because you're not hanging on a cross. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in the same words, the Apostles' Creed, 105. God has made us the people of God for our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We remember in our prayers in the church our Bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple. We pray this whole month of September also for the St. John Scholarship Fund and the students that we support. Nationally and around the world, we pray for Ukraine, Russia, and all of the nations fighting that war. We pray for people who have lost property and life due to wildfires, heat, drought, flooding in Jackson, Mississippi, especially, and Pakistan. And we pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. We certainly pray for all those sick, hospitalized, or in need, and then due to his burial this past week, remember Don Carlson and his family in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Refresh the hearts of your people around the world in the mission of the gospel. Deepen our understanding of every good thing we share, our partnerships in faith. God of grace, Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You satisfy the needs of all creatures in the world. We pray and ask blessing for all those affected by fires, floods, heat, and drought. Restore and protect their habitat. Stir in us reverent awe for the beauty of the natural world. God of grace, Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations and peoples of the world. Grant wisdom to those who govern and raise up citizens who make decisions in the best interests of their neighbors. Inspire all rulers, leaders, and governing authorities with your justice, mercy, and peace. Take from us all hatred, fear, and war. God of grace, merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God, you are steadfast love and mercy. Bring encouragement in your presence to all who are experiencing emotional, mental, and physical distress, especially those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Send us as your healing presence into their lives. God of grace,
hear our
prayer. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. God, do a new thing within us. Build up and strengthen the ministries and the mission of this congregation. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. God of grace, Lord of compassion, we pray for all who are working through and suffering from this. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. God of grace, Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Don and those whom we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
I can always use the stool if you want to, too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Debbie Teedy, Ellen Kress, Cameron Spencer, Stephen Anderson, and Alan Rast. Happy anniversary today to Steve and Judy Theobald. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers week's events listed on the schedule there. Hymnal dedication and celebration Sunday will be during our regular morning worship service on next Sunday, September the 11th at 10 a.m. Our guest speaker will be Reverend Robert Goll. Sing Around the World organ concert will be held next Sunday, September 11th at 5 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church, ELCA, American Falls, Idaho. Guest organists will be from the Eastern Idaho chapter of the American Guild of Organists. Are there any other announcements that not found in the worship bulletin or corrections? Yes. And here you are.
If you own a globe, we'd appreciate it if we could use it to decorate with next Sunday. If you have one, please drop it off at the church. Also, it's not just the organist. We're going to be singing.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory number 465, As the Grains of Wheat. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion. Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on his day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All is prepared. Come. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given to 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 you. Christ can heal. The body of 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 Christ can heal. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day to regain your life. Go in peace, always. Amen. Body of Christ. 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 Body of Christ can heal. The blood of Christ should heal. The blood of Christ should heal. Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the benediction. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 208.
True.
hymn 208 says it all. Go home. After you read Ezekiel 37, homework. I'm going to call you and see if you did it. Homework, Ezekiel 37, then read hymn 208. That's why we are the church. Receive now the benediction. The prayer first, the benediction. I digress. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of the Spirit of life. In your mercy, strengthen us spirit of faith and trust toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hymn 87, listen to the words as you sing them and mean them.